is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Here are your hosts, editor-in-chief at arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney, and former Chiefs linebacker, Sean Barber.
You hear the drums, you know what that means. It's time once again for your favorite hour of the week, and that's Arrowhead Pride Radio. I'm editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney, sitting across from the player, Sean Barber. The American Dream, Dusty Likens on the ones and twos, and we got a lot to talk about. We're just 48 hours away from the Chiefs and the, not San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers, Thursday Night Football, Arrowhead Stadium. We're going to get into all that, but before we do, Sean, tell me something good.
Well, we know Dante Hall is in the area, and Priest Holmes in the area, doing great things in the community for the charity, giving the blood, starting off that blood drive. But you know, tomorrow night, everybody's going to be letting the hair down a little bit, having a couple drinks.
Thursday night.
Tomorrow night, Priest Holmes.
This is what you're talking about.
The roast. You wanted me to tell you something good? Priest Holmes about to get his butt roasted by all his former teammates. They're going to be joking him up, telling some stories y'all haven't heard.
You ain't lying.
No, I ain't lying. So that's something good. Priest better be ready because they're going to let him come heavy-handed. Those jokes are coming heavy-handed tomorrow night.
Big week. Big week of Chiefs football, both present and past. I want to start, and this is going to be quick. Don't turn the dial. I know last week I was upset. Quick Kareem Hunt comment. Wasn't happy last week because no one really seemed interested in this problem. Clark Hunt finally speaks on Sunday. The news that came through is the Chiefs knew of all three incidents. I will say, I wish it would have come sooner. I think there are more questions to be answered at a later date. But finally, Sean, I think everyone has met where you were at moving on from this situation.
Definitely. I mean, Kareem's going to be right now he's a former teammate, former player with the Kansas City Chiefs. I treat all alumni, past, present, and future, like they're my brethren. I'm here ingrained in the community. I have roots in the community. This little legacy aspect of being an alumni and being an ambassador to Chiefs is something I take with a lot of pride. Every time I go out in the community do anything charitably, I know I take that Arrowhead feeling, I take that Chiefs organization with me and try to represent them the right way. And no better week than this week for Alumni Weekend, as Tony Gonzalez will be back in the area, and all the great Chiefs alumni will be back in the area to raise the spirits of old as Arrowhead takes on you-know-who coming back to Arrowhead Stadium.
That's right. Los Angeles Chargers on Thursday night. And here we are. We're two games out, Sean. As we get ready for this game, and I know if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to be buzzing for this one. What's your general feeling on this game as we stand?
Both teams going to be a little sore. Both teams a little beat up. Hill's a little beat up on our side. Gordon's on their side. I mean, we got some guys beat up. But I think all in all, I think the Chiefs are a little bit more – I think we're in better shape. I think we're the nucleus of our team is healthier than I think some of the key people as far as, you know, what they rely for Melvin Gordon to be a part of that offense for it to really go. And all in all, I think, having a short turnaround, having a short turnover – we didn't have to travel, so I think that's a big part. You know, when you have bumps and bruises and contusions all in your legs and arms and stuff, when you have to go up in the airplane and come back down, sometimes there's a lot of swelling that goes on. Some guy might be questionable on Wednesday, and once that plane lasts, he gets go from questionable to out. So I like being a home team when it comes to these Thursday night games.
I looked at the point spread of this game, and it's 3.5, and I'm staring that right in the face, and I'm saying – that feels low to me. I think the Chiefs should be 6.5, 7-point favorites headed into this game, just based upon the stat that's running around all week among the media is 10-2 for Thursday night football teams at home. How could you bet against Mahomes in the offense? I get maybe he won't have as many weapons. Again, Kareem Hunt out of the mix. Sammy Watkins probably won't play in this game. But damn, 3.5 points, that feels low.
Yeah, and Vegas, they always say Vegas gives the home team a field goal for being home.
Right,
team.
So really it's only a half a point on what would be a neutral field, which is dangerous. Like, that is so low to me.
Especially that show, and to me, what it really does? It shows no respect for the kingdom. It shows no respect for the home field advantage. I think that
9 games in a row for the Chiefs at home going into this game.
Yeah, if you give any other team, any other venue a field goal advantage, you got to give the Chiefs like a – Arrowhead Stadium should be like a five, maybe 5.5 point advantage.
They haven't won too many big games there lately. I get it's 9 in a row when you think about the regular season, but I just look back to the playoffs. I know you're not big Sean and looking at the past, but you couldn't beat the Steelers and you couldn't beat the Titans at Arrowhead. It's hard for me to think of Arrowhead as an advantage until they win a playoff game at home.
I'm not looking at the past, and I'm not looking into the future. I'm looking at Thursday Night Football versus those Chargers. 9 in a row, about to become 10 in a row, baby.
Let's talk about Thursday night. I think the most important aspect of this game right now is the statuses of wide receiver Tyreek Hill and running back Melvin Gordon. Tyreek was a little banged up from injuring his arm and then his foot mainly in that game on Sunday. Here is Mahomes on Hill this week on fighting through some injuries.
I mean, he's a fighter, and you see that by how he plays, and it shows of how well he's came of just becoming a receiver and not having to rely on speed every single route, and he just relies on his route running now, and the speed is an extra hitch that he gets that takes him over the top.
Reports emerged out of Arrowhead Stadium today that Tyreek Hill is back to being limited. This, to me, is huge for the Chiefs because it's one thing to be without Watkins. You don't want to be going into Thursday night without Watkins and Hill.
No, definitely. I mean, you know, the Tyreek Hill factor is because of that top-end speed, you always have to keep a safety with eyes on him or either cheating to his half of the field. If you're a half-deep coverage safety, you always got to be, you got to remain deep early and often throughout the down. You know, Pat Mahomes got a very live arm. He can throw a 70, 80 yards in the air. So, you know, when you defend the offense and you start taking away some of that deep threat ability, it starts to crunch all the windows and everybody gets to play a little bit tighter. You don't have to worry about as much deep balls being thrown. So everybody's jobs gets a little bit tougher. So I think as long as Tyreek is available and he lines up, 10's on the field, I think they'll have to show him the respect that he deserves.
Yeah, and I think if you're a Chiefs fan, I'm here to tell you, you have nothing to worry about. I think it's near 100% chance he plays on Thursday night, and it's because of the words of Andy Reid.
He was sore. I'm sure he's sore as much. So, I mean, but if I was a betting man, I'd probably say that he plays.
If he's a betting man, he says that he plays. Let me tell you one thing about Andy Reid. He doesn't mess with injuries and talk about injuries unless he's confident that a player is going to be able to go on the next game. I'm telling you right now, Tyreek Hill will be there. Melvin Gordon, on the other hand, is a little more up in the air. Gordon missed the last two games with a grade 2 MCL sprain. I'm not an injury expert, but that doesn't sound good. If you're one of your best players is not playing, it obviously is serious enough to miss those games.
Yeah, MCL, I mean, that's tricky because that's a knee stability thing. They have to keep in mind the long-term projection of this guy, Melvin Gordon. I mean, he's their franchise running back for the future. So, I mean, this is an important game for them. But if it's at all there's any doubt that he doesn't have the strength and the stability and anything that could be magnified into a bigger injury, he can't protect himself out there. I mean, running backs get hit from all sort of angles. At least as a wide receiver, you have some type of determination of, you know, it's one-on-one or it's only a few people in your area as you're running a route.
You make a good point about the future because the Chargers, it isn't like they could go in this game and flip the division either. Not only would they have to win this game, they would need extra help down the stretch of the last 2 weeks to flip the division and get back into that one seed as opposed to the five. And this is a team that is making the playoffs anyway. So if there's any question, I think if you're the Chargers going into this game, you sit Gordon. Gordon actually spoke to the media today about playing on Thursday night.
We've been grinding hard, you know, to try to get back. You know, still trying to decide what we're going to do. I know, you know, coach trying to be careful. You know, he don't want me to further hurt myself or anything like that. So, you know, we're going to see where that goes. But I'm a lot stronger, a lot more confident, you know, than I was last week or 2 weeks ago when I did it.
So that's NBC Los Angeles. Gordon will be a game-time decision in this game. And I look at this, and okay, Tyreek's playing. Gordon is a game-time decision. Which player do you think, when it comes to these two guys, is more important for their team?
Oh, definitely Tyreek Hill is. I mean, I think that, you know, we haven't played a game without him in the last few years. And so his toughness, his you know, like I said, the kind of respect he gives you on the deep ball, it makes the defense kind of tilt to his side no matter what defense they're in. As far as Gordon is concerned, like I said, running back with a lower body injury, to me, that's just put the target on his back. If I'm a linebacker and I'm coming out there and this guy's hobbling around and he's not full strength, I mean, the first couple of snaps, I'm pushing him down, making him get up every – like, I'm tackling this running back no matter
where. Is that intent to injure? Yeah, intent to injure.
I mean, he's already injured. That's his – I mean, if he decides to play.
So intent to injure is wrong, but if they're already injured, you can get him a little bit more injured.
Yeah. I mean, like, nobody's forcing him to play. If he chooses to play, then you. I mean,
no, I'm with you.
You into the battlefield, you got to be ready to roll. And so you definitely going to test him early and often and, you know, push him down every play, make him get up. You know, if it's already a little tender, I'm going to make sure it stay real tender while you, you know, go into halftime. So, I mean, you got to make business decisions.
I think that in this case, Gordon is more important for Hill. Because I understand you don't want to be handcuffed with receivers, but you still have Mahomes and Kelsey. And I don't know about you, but after this weekend, I'm getting to the point where I could say about Patrick Mahomes, this guy may be able to win with marginal players on the field. I don't know if it's necessary. You're not necessarily going to need all these stars. Whereas Melvin Gordon, you have Austin Eckler injured in the last game, probably won't go on Thursday night. You're down to your third running back if you're Los Angeles. You need Gordon to play in this game, I think, if you're going to win.
Well, like we said, when Kareem Hunt went out, you know, we thought the easiest position on the field we think to replace is the running back position. This based off of everybody else is doing the same thing. It's just this guy hitting the hole. Obviously, some running backs are better than others. But when you talk about a wide receiver, then like him and that quarterback got to be on the same page. They got to be able to see the same thing, the routes, the timing, all that kind of stuff. So your number one wide receiver is a very big important.
I mean, but you bring Conley into the one, then you have DeMarcus, and then you get Garrett Dieter, Patrick Mahomes' best friend. How more in sync can you be than with your best friend? You got the same haircut.
That's a lot of shuffling going on.
Probably every more day shuffling.
Every day was shuffling. Yeah, that's too much.
I think Melvin Gordon's more important. Sean thinks Tyreek Hill's more important. It all will come to a head on Thursday night. We'll have the Arrowhead Pride tailgate beginning here at 6 p.m. on Thursday night. When we come back, I'm surprised to learn this today, but me and Philip Rivers have a lot more in common than I thought. We'll talk about it next.
Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Arrowhead Pride Radio back here on 610 Sports Radio. Pete Sweeney hanging out with Sean Barber. We're hanging out till 7 o'clock. That's when Bink at Night takes over. Bink tonight covering the Chiefs, Royals, K-State with a new head coach. But right now, it's an hour of Chiefs with Sean and I want to get to the opposing quarterback of this game on Thursday night, Philip Rivers. And Sean, I understand I'm going to take some flack for this. I like Philip Rivers.
And thus you should take some flack for that is.
I call him by his male name. I think he's a future Hall of Famer. I like that he's a gamer. He always has the Chargers in the mix, no matter what the team is. I don't think he's better than Patrick Mahomes, but you know what? He's a great player when it comes down to it. We don't have a lot in common, though. We don't. I'm willing to admit that. We don't have a lot in common. What does he have? 9 children. He's from Alabama.
8, 9 on the way. 9's due in March.
9 is due in March. I don't know why you know that, but that's interesting to know.
I got 6. No more due, never.
He's an NFL quarterback. I'm very unathletic. But today, we found a common ground. And that is that we are both terrible at anything to do with mathematics.
If we go way back, it's not, you know, so we can make stats say whatever we want. So we kick off on Thursday. We'll see what happens on Thursday. Kind of each game to me stands alone. While I acknowledge that that's been the case, it's been a while. But I don't think, you know, there's guys in this locker room that've only played them one time. So some that maybe I've played them any, they weren't playing in week one. So, it's a new game, new week, be a heck of a challenge. It'll be as loud as it's ever been. And we'll have to manage those things. Plus a really good football team.
What is he talking about?
He's a little flustered, man. Sometimes, you know what? Having a lot of kids, sometimes it's soft.
You're a man to pull back the curtain. You're a man with 6 children.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes your brain gets a little like marshmallow, and sometimes the mathematics and the words and all that kind of stuff, you just, yeah, a 9-game losing streak is a 9-game, no matter how you add it up, forward, backwards, reverse.
Now, diagonal. He's saying if you go far back enough, it's not a 9-game losing streak. My friend, I told you I like you. A losing streak's a losing streak.
Hey, man, he just said the numbers, the way you add it up. You add it up forward and backwards, and sometimes that don't equal 9. It still equals 9 to me, no matter which way you add it up, but 9 in a row is 9 in a row.
Very quickly, 9-game losing streak against a certain team. I think the Chiefs went through a little bit of this with the Denver Broncos when Peyton Manning was still good. Does that get in your head a little bit when you come into Arrowhead Stadium needing the game?
I mean, I think we all know there's always a little bit of what is it, like a little ghost in the building when there's anything that's gone on 9 straight games. I mean, that means you can't beat us there. You can't beat us at home. You can't beat us in your new stadium. You can't beat us at Arrowhead. Like, Right now, you know, like Andy Reid got your number, dog. Him and Bob Stivity, they doing some kind of chicken bones, something. They doing some mojo where somehow, some way, they fooling with your kickers. There's somehow, some way, when the points get added up, the Chiefs got enough and the Chargers ain't got enough.
There's a point to be made, too, with Philip Rivers, especially now in that soccer stadium in L.A. He never has home field advantage. Even the other stadium, there was Chiefs fans there. You would hear the national anthem, and by the end of it, it would be home of the Chiefs.
Definitely, definitely. That's why, I mean, that's always been a thing where it's the home field advantage that Vegas, that we talked about, Vegas giving you 3 points. It should be a floating scale, which maybe some of the better teams that have the real home field advantage, like the Arrowhead Stadium, should maybe get 4 points. And then those that don't really have as much of a, you know, true fan base like in Charger land, should maybe just get like a 1 and 1.5 point just for being not having to travel.
You're talking about the Vegas spreads here.
The Vegas spreads. Yes. It should be 1.5 for playing at wherever you play at the soccer stadium.
A place where there will be very few Chargers fans is, of course, Thursday night, Arrowhead Stadium. As you look at this game from a broad scope, Sean, what is your key point to watch in this game, in your opinion?
Start fast. Take the doubt away. Take any instance of hope away from Charge. Like you said, there's been some guys on the team that wasn't there earlier. I think he's talking about Bosa. Lock Bosa down earlier. Don't let him get started.
That's a tough thing to do.
Yeah,
especially with Jeff Allen coming in the mix there.
I don't know. I think Jeff Allen's up for the challenge, man. Bosa he's a high motor guy. He's gonna keep coming and everything. But I mean, I think I don't know if his actual skill level is on the same as a Mac or a Von Miller. At least not yet. I think he beats you more just by just pure determination. He's relentless. He keeps coming at you. So late in the downs, as you scramble, he finds a way to get, you know, 1 or 2 sacks. But this game, I don't know. I think we focus. We know, you know, they got Ingram. They got Bosa. They got, you know, a pretty good secondary. They got some guys. So they got, you know, front line and back level. It's those linebackers has always been the kind of weakness in their defense. Our running backs and tight ends have always been able to attack their linebackers, and that's where we make hay.
I like your point of starting fast. I'm going to go a different direction, and I'm going to start with a question for you. How many targets has Keenan Allen gotten in the last 3 games? Do you know? Don't look at that paper.
How many targets has Keenan Allen for the Chargers gotten? I'm going to say 40.
35.
That was close.
35 targets, including 19 targets 2 games ago against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mahomes is going to be there whether Hill plays or not. By the way, cheat sheet, he's playing. Whether Hill's there or not, Mahomes is going to be there. On the defensive side of the football, it is stopping Keenan Allen.
Whew. He's like 88 catches worth. He's playing. You know, Keenan is a really good football player, and he's, you know, one of the things you appreciate about him, he's really competitive. He'll go any place for the football, over the ball, low, high, whatever. Has, I think, become a really good technician at his job. I mean, he's a really good route runner. He knows how to get open now. I mean, you know, and just he's just a really good football player. But he's, you know, I think he has 30% of their targets, you know, which is a really significant number, you know. So, but just a really good football player. I mean, he's going to challenge you all the time. As a coach, you appreciate watching guys, and you know, you appreciate him because he's tough. I mean, he's aggressive, and, not just physically tough, but mentally tough, and does a great job of execution.
Did you hear that reaction to Keenan Allen when I asked him about the film? Bob Sutton, defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you think about Keenan Allen?
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, he meant to do like the Nature Boy one. Woo! You got to walk that out, baby. Whenever you're trying to beat the best, you got to beat the best. You got to walk.
Are you talking
out,
about Ric Flair?
Woo!
Rick. You didn't think I have tricks,
man? You had that on command, didn't you? Kind of. I appreciate that. Kind of surprised me. You caught me off guard with that one, man.
Woo!
When you think of Keenan Allen, what do you think about?
This consistent man, like he's an athletic. He competes for the ball. He fights for every, you know, every ball. He lays out to make catches. Like I don't really consider Philip Rivers one of the better quarterbacks as far as the accuracy and stuff. I think he just shot puts the ball in the area, and he has receivers like Williams and Keenan Allen who have the tremendous catch radius, and they just have to go get the ball wherever it is. I don't think he plans on the ball being in certain spots. He just kind of throws in general areas. So with that said, I think you have to have a very high high level receivers as far as their hands and hand eye coordination, be able to adjust their routes kind of on the run. So it's very hard to just go man up with a guy like Keenan Allen. I think you kind of got to get him in zones, and then you got to, you know, once he catches the ball, really try to strip the ball from him if you want him to turn over.
Keenan Allen's career against the Chiefs, 7 games, 44 catches for 557 yards and 1 touchdown. And the thought of Keenan Allen at Arrowhead Stadium that comes to mind for me when he was especially dominant was that Week 1 game a couple of years ago when he just was owning Marcus Peters. And this was when Marcus Peters was at the top of his game. Do you think that now, given Melvin Gordon being out, and this is where I think it benefits the Chiefs, I think you've got one major guy to worry about. I understand Tyrell Williams is on this team, but to me, it's Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this Jackson running back, I mean, he showed he can do something. And we, you know, we continue to not really play the run game as well as we should. So we got to still focus on, you know, keeping a three-yard run. I think that's where our running game has kind of been a mystery, is that, you know, we'll make first contact in a 2 or 3 yard game and end up being a 6 yard gain. Or we'll hit somebody, you know, 8 yards or behind the line of scrimmage and they'll actually get, you know, 2 or 3 yards. I think we just got to really, you know, once we first contact, guys continue to drive the legs, drive the balls, finish through the ball carriers. And then when it comes to the passing game, just protect the deep. You know, make them throw it in front of you so we can get a lot of woo licks on the ball, a lot of helmets on the ball, scrapping for the ball, trying to be ball hawks and get the ball out.
Running backs matter when it comes to playing the Chiefs now, because if the Ravens did anything, it's give you, I wouldn't say a complete blueprint, because there's not a lot of teams built like that, but somewhat of a blueprint where you got to run the football and keep it a possession game if you're ever going to have a chance to beat this Chiefs team.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson might be the complete opposite of Rivers when it comes to scrambling, rushing, being able to, you know, create anything with his feet, any kind of threat with his feet. But they did have running backs, Dixon and Gus. It really got downhill and showed that you can kind of hit us between the A-gaps a little bit and still get some yardage there.
That's former Chiefs linebacker Sean Barber. I am editor-in-chief of ArrowheadPride.com, Pete Sweeney. When we come back, we're going to go around the nation to hear what people are saying about your Chiefs. It's Hot Take Tuesday, and it's next.
Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Arrowhead Pride Radio. 610 Sports Radio, Pete Sweeney hanging out with Sean Barber, the American Dream, Dusty Likens behind the glass. We're taking it to 7 o'clock until Bink at Night. And Sean, the talk of the town this week, and I think across the country, has been the no-look pass. You weren't on Sunday with us. What was your reaction to the no-look?
I mean, to be honest with you, I was on the field, and, I mean, it was kind of like one of those magic tricks things. Like, I saw him looking, and then the ball got thrown, and I looked the way he was looking, and I didn't see the ball, and I saw a defender come and slap, you know, Honey Thunder down. And I was like, oh, that's rough. That's like illegal. You can't just tackle people without the ball. And unreal. I had no idea he even had the ball. So he kind of shook me up my boots. I guess he, you know, did one of those AI crossovers. You might not know about the AI crossover. Shake you at your boots.
Of course I know about the AI.
Broken ankles.
Of course I know about that.
I had broken ankles on that one. Broke my eyes. Broken ankles.
Sean, you've been in the game a long time. 10 years as a player. Around it since then. You ever seen anything like that?
Actually, I'm going to have to say no. I mean, I can try to, like, recall in my brain how many times I've seen somebody, like, I've seen a quarterback look you off a little bit, but not. It was never a completely, like, blind pass. They would just look at you and try to, like, get you to move a little bit with their eyes and throw it right behind you. So it was still in the same direction they were looking, but it was just, like, they would try to move you over 5 yards and then throw it where you were. This was basically looking straight down the goalpost and then throwing the ball outside the hash to the numbers to a cross. I mean, that was phenomenal. That was it is what it is. It was what? It is what it is. It was a phenomenal pass. I really don't understand how he can get so much accuracy on the ball to an area he's not looking at, but I guess the receivers, they know he's capable of it, so they just all stay alive.
Well, it's Hot Take Tuesday. We're going to national to see what the nation is saying about the no-look pass. We'll start with NFL Network.
I'm kind of running out of ways to describe Pat Mahomes, and the best way I can do it is the way he played in this game reminded me of somebody that would go win the three-point contest and then turn around and win the dunk contest. Oh. Because you saw the precision with some of the things, and then you got the wow moments of him taking off from the free throw line on that 4th-and-9 throw. He's unbelievable.
He's fearless. Fearless.
Like, I can tell you, in the Chargers locker room after that game, they were even talking
about
it.
They were watching it.
Phillip Rivers was talking about that fourth down pass, like, you know, this young kid to be able to do that, how incredible it was. And Anthony Lynn was talking about the no-look passes. He said, I've never seen a quarterback make a no-look pass.
Speaking of that no-look pass, Jim, let's take one more look at this thing. As you see, kind of evading the rush and somehow is able to complete the pass here. I mean, this was insane. See him looking right, throwing left on the money, receiver crossing the field, and Robinson. I mean, that's just insane. He is a, you know, we talk about his baseball background, five-tool player. He's a five-tool thrower. I mean,
right.
Like, he can just make all of these different throws. We've said it week in and week out, and it still continues to be true.
My arch enemy, Ron the Show Hughley, was on earlier today, as he is every weekday. And he and my guy, Vern, talking down the no-look pass. Here's my thing. If you can be accurate with it, as Andy Reid has alluded to and as Patrick Mahomes has shown, to say that it's flashy and not a weapon, how do you defend that? If you can say to yourself, okay, I'm going to get it there. It may be flashy, but it's indefendable.
No, definitely. There's a place for it, actually. I mean, if you see how it froze all the defenders in front of him, it actually opened up the window for that crosswalk to get a little bit opener. And I'm just saying the degree of difficulty of it is probably beyond even measuring, because it's one thing to throw like a stop route and I'm not looking at you now, but I know that like 17 yards right outside the numbers, you're going to be stopped and I can throw it to that area and you'll be able to make as a receiver, you'll be able to come and make a move on the ball to get, you know, to complete the pass. But a crossing route, that means he had to throw it with the right amount of momentum in front of him, right amount of area in front of him. I mean, and he hits Honey Badger, right? When I talk about on stride, the Joker did not break a stride. Did not break any momentum, did not get lost in that crossing route, and they hit him right in the numbers.
Just want you to be careful here. Honey Badger is a lot different than Honey Thunder.
Honey Thunder, Honey Badger, Honey Oats.
There is a Honey Badger.
Honey Oats.
Not on the Chiefs.
Honey Buns.
Let's stay with Hot Take Tuesday. When you do something like a no-look pass, you're going to start getting comparisons, and we got that on Get Up, ESPN, Dan Orlovsky.
Dan, let's just talk about Patrick Mahomes. It is impossible to describe in words what this kid can do.
Like, I get so freaking excited talking about him. He's the most exciting player to come in the NFL since, like, Michael Vick. I mean, it's remarkable to watch him. Like, listen, this throw is obnoxious to be able to make, and I mean this. There's 7 billion people on the planet. There's one guy that's able to make that throw. And yesterday's performance for me with him was his best of the year because the grit that he showed. I mean, Baltimore, who's a very good defense, came at him. And he took shot after shot after shot. And I love the fact that he just stood there like, come on, keep bringing it because I'm good enough. And just watching him, the talent, it's just marvelous to see the confidence that he has in his arm, the ability to make throws. He's phenomenal.
Most exciting player in the NFL since Michael Vick? Agree or disagree?
I would have to say yes. I would have to say a resounding yes. Having to play, you know, against Vick, and Vick being such a, you know, just a terrific athlete on the field, being able to make, you know, so many things happen with not only his legs but his arm. They used to call it the Vick flick, how he could flick the ball and all of a sudden the ball would just jettison about, you know, 60, 70 yards down the field almost effortlessly. And then to have that world-class speed and the jitters and the shakes and have the agility of like an X-factor, you know, a guy like a punt returner coming in and out of the pass rush. And then all of a sudden he's on the edge making, you know, completions, running for first downs. Definitely exciting, but in a whole nother way because Pat is doing it with, you know, what you would call trick shots.
And for our final hot take of the week, we go to Fox Sports. Colin Cowherd finally has the Chiefs number one in his power rankings.
I haven't put the Chiefs at number one, I don't think, this season. But I thought the Baltimore win impressed me because you got, coming up, you have the Chargers. And there wasn't a single Kansas City player, and this is a young roster, that wasn't looking at that Thursday night game and thinking, here come the Chargers. And they beat a Baltimore team, a good team. Go ask Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh's got New England left next. How did Pittsburgh look against Oakland in the sandwich game? They looked like crud. This was a very easy game to lose. They've scored 25 points in every game. Mahomes is going to win the MVP. They are a great story. He can be a little erratic. He can make some throws that I wince at. But he's got a lot of Carson Wentz in him. That Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz do stuff. You just can't teach. like no-look passes. Like, you just can't teach a lot of what Patrick Mahomes does. And I think Andy Reid's got a real shot to win his first Super Bowl.
NFL Network, ESPN, and Fox Sports all talking Mahomes. The MVP race is over. That's your Hot Take Tuesday. Sean, we're going to get to Kent Swanson, the lead film and draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride, in just a second. But very quickly, what do you expect from Eric Berry if he debuts on Thursday night?
Man, it's going to be tough. I mean, like you're saying, not playing in so many months, almost, you know, I mean, years almost, since you've been out there, you know, on game day, the emotion, the adrenaline. I definitely think he'll get on the field for, you know, a handful of plays. Every series, every couple plays he comes out, obviously the trainers and everybody's going to be really in his ear about how you feeling, you know, give us some feedback on how, you know, is any soreness, any feeling, anything. Just like you're saying, at the end of the day, it's going to be, we want Eric Berry to be ready for the postseason and, you know, a few snaps here in this game, and then having, you know, 10 days off to get ready to go play, you know, with 20-some snaps that game.
Right.
And then followed up with 30 or so. And then by that time, it's time to get to postseason. And once postseason is all chips in, every man on board.
In conversations in the press conference with Bob Sutton last week and this week, I can tell you that we learned that EB will indeed be on a snap count. I think that's something that everyone knew. I'm expecting, and this is my guess and my guess only, 15 to 20 or so snaps for EB. And then furthermore, connecting with Sutton again today, he said it'll be the coaching staff and a head athletic trainer, Rick Burkholder. Everyone will be in communication on Thursday night as to pain tolerance and how much Eric Berry can take, how much he can handle. If I know Eric Berry and he's still the same dude, which I guess you wouldn't have any reason to think he isn't, he's not going to want to come off the field.
Yeah, the whole tolerating pain is something that's probably, you can check that box, cross it out, mark it off. I don't think EB's the type of athlete that's going to ever really admit or let pain take him out the game. But he has to be smart about it. I think it's more so you have to look at, if the Chargers go on a long drive where the Chiefs' defense is on the sideline, let's say 5 or 6 minutes of game time, which sometimes is 10 minutes of actual time, that would be the time where you have to start thinking about, well, maybe we should just wait until after half, warm him back up. But if it's a 3-and-out, you know, he hits the field, we keep the Chargers 3-and-out, and then it's time to go back on the field and only 2 or 3 minutes pass by. I think he'll be ready to, like you're saying, up to that, you know, up to about 20 snaps to really go out there and kind of see where he is as far as his comfort level.
It'll be good. I think he'll get a great ovation if he is active and goes, especially if the Chiefs opt to announce the defense onto the field. That'll be a thunderous ovation. We move from Eric Berry to talk to our lead film and draft analyst, Kent Swanson of ArrowheadPride.com. Kent, you were here at the Arrowhead Pride tailgate on Sunday, and I could see you after the game. You were having trouble keeping your nerves together. How are you feeling with a few days to let this game sink in?
Man, I'm still in recovery, Peter. Like, that game was, I think it took a couple years off my life. And, you know, I feel like I keep a pretty even keel most of the time, but I was struggling this week. That was a fantastic performance from Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs team.
I think the big thing about that game for me, and I was sitting here right next to you, is that Mahomes, for a couple times now, and you saw that he struggled to get with this a little bit against the Patriots and the Rams, he's going to be willing the Chiefs to winning football games, I think, for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, you know, he's really coming into his own as far as a leadership role, as far as, you know, kind of putting more pressure on himself. The Chiefs have done a fantastic job of you know, developing him up to this point, but I think you're starting to see him kind of take over a little bit more and more and take on a leadership role, and it really doesn't matter it matters less and less what's around him. It matters more about the fact that he's on the field, and that's a really encouraging sign. I did not expect to see some of these indicators so quickly from him.
One thing I like about Kent, and I say this all the time, I, of course, am a little biased, but he watches more Patrick Mahomes film than anyone outside the Chiefs in the city. You, of course, had to review Mahomes quickly. We got a Thursday night game to prepare for. So in your film study, your very quick film study on what you saw against the Ravens, do you have the something good, something bad articles at arrowheadpride.com? What did you see upon second watch of Mahomes from this past weekend?
I mean, the list could go forever, my man. I mean, there was so many fantastic moments. He had some really good plays on third down again early, too, like in the first half, connected to with Travis Kelce a couple times, connected with Tyreek Hill once on some big plays that, you know, helped move the chains, scored a touchdown on the 3rd and 6 the Chiefs needed. And then obviously you know, did some rare things that you don't see very often with the no-look pass, and then followed it up the very next play with hitting a ball down the sideline, you know, with an awkward body angle in a very tight window to center where kind of out of structure down the sidelines. And, I mean, and obviously fourth and nine. I mean, like, there's so many moments in this week that you just, your jaw drops. And, you know, they needed him to do that this week to win, and they're going to need him to do that again on Thursday night in a situation that they could wind up being the one seed clinched by the end of Sunday night.
There's been plenty of boiling hot takes. We just went over a few about the no-look pass between, you know, national coverage, local coverage, but I want to stick with that fourth and nine. What did you see specifically on that play that made Mahomes so comfortable to go for 48 when he needed 10?
Well, I mean, I think part of it's just his nature. I mean, he wants to create. He wants to be aggressive. He wants to take opportunities when he sees them. And, you know, he's so good working out of structure. He's so good, you know, freelancing and playing a game that requires creativity and athleticism and arm talent. And, you know, he saw a void that Tyreek Hill might have had a chance. And in a situation like that, you know, I don't blame him for taking that shot. You don't want to discredit Tyreek Hill either. That was a really great effort from him as well, especially a guy that's playing through some injuries to get to that ball. But, I mean, perfect placement, perfect execution. You can see how much chemistry Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce have with Patrick Mahomes, and it's so fun to watch. And one of them's always on every week, it feels like. It's great for that young quarterback.
That is the voice of ArrowheadPride.com lead film and draft analyst Kent Swanson. Kent, with the game night on Thursday, just wrapping up, what can we expect the rest of the week on the website?
You're going to have the Arrowhead Pride Laboratory up on Wednesday. Actually going to have Maddie Lane in with me this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're both recording from Kansas City while he's in town. And we have a video breakdown of the Chiefs fourth down and three play to score a touchdown to Damian Williams coming up on the website later this week as well.
Once again, you can catch Kent Swanson's stuff at ArrowheadPride.com. Kent, thanks for joining us.
Hi, buddy.
Kent is the leader of the Arrowhead Pride Nerd Squad, which reviews all the games from an offensive, defensive, special teams standpoint, even occasionally. And the Arrowhead Pride Nerd Squad joins Bink at Night weekdays. Matt Lane reviews a bunch of different stuff with the Chiefs. He's on 7:30 p.m. tonight with Bink. He's actually in studio because he's in town. His Twitter handle is Chief in Carolina, but he is in town, I believe, for the holidays. Craig Stout's on with Bink at 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, and then you could hear Kent 6:30 on Thursdays with Bink on Bink at Night. In-depth X's and O's talk right here on 610 Sports Radio. When we come back, we will read your tweets. You can get us at twitter.com/arrowheadpride. Sean and I will talk about them. Stay with us.
Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Pete Sweeney here with former Chiefs linebacker Sean Barber, wrapping up a little bit more of an exciting Arrowhead Pride Radio, I think, tonight, given the proximity of Thursday night football.
Yeah, I already got my mind set. It's all charges all day. How are we going to stop them? How are we going to score on them? Special teams, stay focused. Third down, let's get off the field. Go first down, second down on offense. We might not even get a third down. First down, score.
No third downs on Thursday night.
We ain't going to need no third downs on Thursday night. They ain't going to get a third down until like fourth quarter.
Well, it's the last 10 minutes of Arrowhead Pride Radio, and as you know, when it's the last 10 minutes, we turn the show over to you. It's time to read some tweets, and we start with Kevon Barksdale. Why is no one talking about how turned up Arrowhead will be with Tony G getting inducted into the Ring of Honor, AFC West in the line, and EB coming back? Haven't we been talking about that all show, Sean?
Man, I've been talking about TG all week, all right? He on Fox Network. He doing his thing. One of the best commentators and analysts there is right now. I love to see an alumni, fellow ball player get on there. And he's making great predictions. I think he's leading the Fox crew as far as game-to-game analysis predictions. So shout out to my man, Tony G.
Ed Flo. I was 4 months old when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I became a fan in 79. I have suffered a lot of heartache over 40 damn years. About gave up. Then Mahomes was drafted. I will see a Super Bowl before I croak. Do you agree?
I definitely agree. I've heard a great man tell me on radio, there's a difference between a movement and a moment. A movement takes sacrifice, and that young man has been sacrificing since the age of 4, so he's ready for that baby to be born. Let's let a Super Bowl come to Kansas City.
Christy wants to know, what adjustments has the defense made to stopping this run?
Nothing. It's the same defense.
Same old defense.
We're going to outscore the Chargers. Don't worry about the run game. That's just yard here, yard there. We ain't worried. We hitting them for, as we saw, what pad him 40 some yards on end of the game. We hitting them for 40s. We'll give them 4.
Mark, would love to see everyone healthy, including Barry, and then have the general offense and defense playing. Let's not let up and win out. And then want to see Showtime break that all-time QB record and the Super Bowl. What a year.
I ain't worried about no records. I'm not worried about no breaking no passing records or nothing. Only thing we need to worry about is them dubs. Having more scores, more points than the opponent week in and week out, one week at a time.
If the Chiefs win against the Chargers and then 10 days from now beat the Seahawks, unfortunately, Pat Mahomes is not going to get the record this year. But it's his first year. He'll have another 14 cracks at this thing. Snowman, are KC fans prepared mentally for Eric Berry to play a lot like 2017 Derek Johnson when or if he returns? Hatering.
I don't even know about what did Derek Johnson look like in 17. I don't even know. Who knows that? Why are we worried about this? Is 2018. We got the number one team in the AFC, the number one team power ranking in NFL football, and you worried about some Derek Johnson in 17? Man, get out of here.
Chief concern, does Kelvin make a difference in some packages this week? I can see Andy using the big bodies in blocking.
I would love to see Mr. Benjamin out there when we get near the red zone. We call it the green zone, so he can make some money with the high point in the ball. Give our man Showtime Mahomes another offensive weapon. He could be a small tight end, anything. I like it.
From what Andy Reid is saying, it seems like Kelvin will get a handful of snaps in this game, but I think they're still integrating him in the offense. I think the time you see him is against the Seahawks.
Hey, it's not about how many, it's the quality, not the quantity. I'm looking for some quality reps from my man, Calvin Benjamin.
I know how you're going to answer this. Buster wants to know, what team are you more scared to play come playoff time? In my opinion, it's the Ravens is the team he would be most worried about.
He must not have been knowing I was going to answer that. With a name like Buster, that's what he is, a Buster for asking who's scared. Ain't nobody scared of nobody.
I knew this was
coming. We are the best team in the NFL. Been saying it since week one. You go back to hot takes. Colin Cowherd took him 14, 15 weeks to figure out something we knew since week one. We ain't waiting for his props. We don't need his approval to know we a good team here in Kansas City. Ain't no room on the bus for him. He ain't getting the ticket. He ain't getting a ticket on the Arrowhead bus.
I think I saw a tweet today that said if the Chiefs win on Thursday and the Patriots lose on Sunday, the Chiefs could clinch home field advantage. If that happens, do the Chiefs rest most starters for the last two games of the regular season? That's an interesting question. I know about one game at hand. I think the starters get rest. I don't know about two.
Nah, because that would leave almost a four-week window.
That's a lot.
That's a month in that plan.
I think you maybe get a half.
Man, you got things rolling. You keep it rolling. You don't worry about anything, man. You don't worry about no injury bug. You don't worry about none of that kind of stuff. The team is rolling. They're doing well. You want them to keep that continuity, keep that momentum going, keep on their schedule. That's why they're playing well.
Dennis Boyer wants to know, what is Spencer Ware's status? Is he a no-go for Thursday? I don't think he plays on Thursday. I think you're dealing with Demian Williams, Darrell Williams, and Charkandrick West active for the first time in a long time for the Chiefs.
And I like them three. Matt, the Williams brothers, they together, they got a lot of something special. Damian Williams got some explosion. The LSU Williams, I mean, he's got a vertical cut, a jump cut that kind of reminds me of old Jacksonville running back. But, man, together, I think them guys give you a whole different change of pace type backfield. I like what they're doing.
Is it too early to put Mahomes in the Ring of Honor at Arrowhead? I say you're putting Tony G up there, you know, this Thursday night. You might as well just get it over with now. I think that's a good one.
All great things come to those who wait. This is Tony's. It's Tony's time to enjoy and bask in the glow of Arrowhead Chiefs Kingdom lore. Joining the Bobby Bales and Marty Schottenheimers and all the great coaches and commentators and players of the heyday. So I look forward to seeing Tony G's name getting put up there at halftime.
That's the voice of Sean Barber. I'm Pete Sweeney. Dusty, the American dream. Lycan's behind the glass. Thank you to Ken Swanson. Make It Night coming up next. I see our own Matt Lane is here ready to join him. Should be good. It's Thursday Night Football. We'll see you for the pregame, 6 o'clock. Make It Night's next.
This This has been Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Coverage continues with articles, pictures, video, and interviews on arrowheadpride.com and 610sports.com.